Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with the talented Justin Nimmergood. Justin.
Oh, well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Monday. And it certainly feels good to be called talented by you, Bruce. That's kind of at the high end of the compliment range. So
I don't think anybody would doubt that you weren't talented for sure. Absolutely. Well, glad to hear it. So, another great week out there. So
yeah,
what's been going on in the West?
Well, I was going to say, before we get into some of the meat for our conversation for today, I started some of the Christmas shopping over the weekend. So I have to say, I'm reminded every time that I do it, why I hate doing it and why I'm very grateful for new services like Amazon and eBay and all that to, direct to consumer through online. Cause just, it's a zoo out there, man. It's crazy. And, I don't look forward to it at any rate. So, but got the Christmas tree up now, got some lights up, feeling festive, I guess, so all that's taking shape. Have you guys got your, I'm sure you guys have your tree and all that.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah. Trees up and, multiple trees and, the outside lights are up, so definitely was able to sneak that in. The metrics this year were very this year is different than a lot of years because the way Thanksgiving fell in the 28th, that it shortened the Christmas shopping season by 7 days, and so what that is, it's really accelerated retailers and others to adjust their strategies. If you notice the lingering Cyber Monday sales,
we're still running it. We're still running it.
We're running that son of a bitch all the way to, that's right, 11:59 Christmas Eve. Things calm down when the logistics companies can't ship beyond 10 feet. But you'll be barraged with deals here. And it's been interesting to see how retailers and folks, made adjustments. But, that's good. That's good. I've really tried to, ask people what they wanted and, like you said, utilize Amazon Prime and others, eBay, which half the stuff is now through eBay is shipped through Amazon. Interesting. Getting all that done, man. We're running out of time.
I can't believe it, man. It's already like, what is it? A little more than 2 weeks out.
Yeah.
And if you think about it from a retailer perspective, you're probably more like 10 days out really get what you need
because
to get.
Because shipping. So. Yeah. Your shipping is just going to crunch. So, which reminds me, at the conclusion of the show, I better make a few more purchases and get the. I'm writing that down here in the studio. So, good, man. Glad to hear you getting on the season. And
yeah, tis the season, my man. Tis the season. And then I think I saw on social media that, were you with your sons on Thursday night, or maybe that was the Thursday before? But I know you were watching the game on Thursday night, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes and yes is the answer. And, depending on what loss I was watching, whether it be the Cowboys or A&M or yes. But the Aggies did get a bowl announced yesterday. The CarQuest. The Academy. I knew it. Almost my prophecy. The Academy Sports and Outdoors Bowl held in Houston, and we're going to play Oklahoma State. God,
Oklahoma State! Wow,
come on, man. Should be fun for the Aggies. I should be a walk in the park, man. I mean, but anyway,
you think Oklahoma State's a sneaky little team, though?
I didn't say they were bad, and no, there's a lot of people up here that are loyal to them. I mean, they're good. You know, it's kind of like
that Mike Gundy, man. I kind of like that dude, though. He's like a modern day hippie, fucking hair, man.
That's true. So it'll be fun to watch. So I'm not going to buy the tickets and go to Houston, but that's neither here nor there. So yeah.
And I heard not mine so much anymore, but the Dragons, unfortunately, were defeated again on Saturday. I got that report back from Ralphie. I guess he drove to the game and said they got beat in the same round by the same team. I guess I don't know what team that was,
but that's what I hear. So that's unfortunate, but the crazy Carroll families around here, got to flex and do their thing for a little while before they got blown out. So anyway, it's just it's competitive out there. I mean, I live kind of in the near the Northwest ISD, which is the next district over, right?
Yep.
They had an expansion high school go up like 3 years ago, and those guys I think are already 6A and are competitive AF. You know what I mean? School's only like 3 or 4 years old, like, yeah, man, we're gonna play South Lake next year, this and that. We have a good chance of winning. I'm like, dang, man. It just thousands and thousands and I am not lying. Thousands of families. I mean, the migration to Northwest Tarrant County is just amazing, and many of those folks are from California. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. So it does give Democrats hope, but here in Texas, that is. But
anyway. It's a good point. I mean, and kind of a bit of a nice segue into some of our discussion for today. I mean, you look at what's going on across the country, and in particular in Texas, really just Texas has become a lot of a recruiting state. I mean, they're recruiting the heck out of corporations from other states, in particular California. Yeah, admittedly, and it was the Toyotas and whatnot. And now, recently, within the last month, Schwab now going to be, leaving San Francisco and
Texas. TD Ameritrade already set up shop down the street in Trophy Club, the PGA Golf, PGA Tour. They're moving here in a few months.
Oh, really? From Florida?
Yep.
That one I kind of don't get, I'll be honest, because the Florida doesn't impose the state income tax, so I don't really get that one.
It's just the land if we cut a deal with Westlake or the town, man, at 5.25% property, you know what I mean? You'd be surprised. So also, even in my office here, I pay a business condo tax. Did I bitch about that already? I think I have.
No, but go ahead. I'd love to hear a bitch session on condo taxes in Texas.
Yeah, man. No, really. Here it goes. So basically, I've had this office since 2008. We're speaking here, and anyway, since 2008, rocked along for many years until some sort of provision like, yeah, this is a business condo. There's nothing condo about this office. I mean, you know that. I mean, you've seen it. It's an office. But I think it's because it's in an executive suites type of deal, and the way that the building owner set it up, that it sets us up to have to pay, sets me up rather to have to pay taxes on it. Now, it's not a lot of money, and I'm not going to bitch about the money.
Is it a couple hundred a month or what? What are we talking about here?
No, it's just less than that. Maybe a couple hundred a year, honestly. So I mean, again,
oh, okay.
I'm not singing the blues.
It's like a water bill.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean. So, come on, folks. So, just another mechanism to pick up. So, I think maybe I should relocate to Florida. I'll use that as an argument. But no, I'm staying here. Things are rocking and rolling here. Just a lot of growth. Going to Vegas Thursday. Going to do some UFC work. So,
oh, nice.
Get ready for that.
Who are you working? Which UFC fighter are you working with?
Well, I'm just I can't quite say, but
okay, all right.
But yeah, I'm working with a couple of them. So definitely, gonna see some. You're going to see some things on social media that you haven't seen before at a UFC. There's going to be my own escorted private seat to the weigh-ins. And then there's this kind of VIP area with all the fighters and that goes on during the undercard. But I'll be hitting that heavy, and I'm wearing my best black suit with a white shirt this time. I'm going to mix it up, wear a white shirt with the black suit. So
nice.
Definitely look like Dana White or Joe Rogan.
Well, I was going to say, doesn't he typically wear like a black on black? Doesn't he wear like black suit? Black.
My Joe Rogan. Yeah, I was full Joe Rogan when I was out at that Beverly Hills deal with the golf folks. So I'll definitely switch it up and go with Dana White with hair and, so be looking forward to that. I need to do these Instagram stories and these Facebook stories. That's really where a lot of the metrics are. Cause when I've done that, I've always had like two or three times more viewers than I do with just a post, you know?
So I tell you what, yeah, they do. And they just switched it up. I mean, it wasn't super recent, but you know, within the last couple of months where you can basically dupe your post to your story. So I've been playing around with that lately, and that seems to help drive synergy not only to the post, but it's a multiplier effect, right?
Yeah. Well, I saw your long soliloquy; it was very sweet. I didn't know whether to bring it up or not on the show, but anyway. But I'll leave that up to you. So it's really strategic what I think you did, and if you did know this, I'll tell you that I thought it was strategic. And here it is, right? So you had a story that. When I first tuned into it, it had like six segments to it. You know what I mean by segments, right?
Click.
Okay. Yep. I think it had at least six segments. And what you did was you strategically somehow, seemingly, unless again, you know, I've been spoken crack, you seemingly added segments to it in a fairly timely manner. So that story kept running. See what I'm saying? So your story just got larger and larger and larger. And then I'd get duped into looking at it. But it would, here's some new segments. See what I mean? It would jump to the new segments. Is that making sense?
Did you see it on Insta both, or Facebook?
Both.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you which one it was that you masterfully. Shoot, I wasn't paying attention to the medium because I check them both at the same time, you know? I'm like, oh, there's a story again. Boom, boom, boom. And there it is. So it's really interesting how you ran, you know, you posted it in the beginning of the story cycle for the time clock and then really added to it to get people checking back and back and back again to the story, you know, and that if they wanted to rewind and see the master's thesis that very lovingly written.
Well, you know, it's a bit of vulnerability and things that I think, you know, to be honest, that I have never historically, not never, never say never, right? But right. I have historically not done a great job of, but I think that's truly, you know, I'm one that if I'm going to post anything, it's going to be value added content in some way, shape or form. And, you know, thank you for the sentiments on that. It was a bit of sheer dumb luck, whatever you're talking about with the algorithms, because I really don't know what the latest algorithm is to be honest. But it's good to know.
I think you lucked up on a formula by staggering seemingly. And again, I mean, by seemingly putting it up in you know, put up four elements to your story, come back 2 hours later, add two elements, pause 2 hours later, add two or three elements. You know what I mean? Just whack, 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 and just really, you know, you're getting maximum exposure and repeat viewers per story, which I would think the metrics on that from a marketing perspective.
It was one of the higher, and I didn't do it, to be honest, I didn't do it for that reason, but it's good feedback. So, you know, what I did learn like years ago, just from a general marketing perspective is, you know, and we've talked about it a lot on the shows around dovetailing, right? Dovetail marketing. And you can do that through influencer marketing. You can do that through, marketing through association or whatnot. That's really, you know, that seems to be the secret sauce. And, you know, I have to be honest, I've been privy to some secret sauce from my my lovely other half that I did the post about.
Hey, this is a family show. It's a family show.
It's a family show. Yeah, right.
Stop talking dirty. Oh, that kind of. Okay, come on, man.
No, I mean she is a micro influencer, so she's at the forefront of this stuff. She understands the algorithms, and she's been extremely helpful. I mean, heck, I can remember when I first met her, and just the way things were formatted in Instagram alone, were all jacked up. You probably remember, like, you know, years ago, if you try to do a long post like that, the Instagram formatting would be all screwed up. It'd be all jumbled together. It looked like shit.
Yeah.
And she was I'll go out there and say a bit of a pioneer, at least, you know, an expert in the sense that she knew the tools to use to, if you want to do a long story, something beyond one paragraph, and you want it to be formatted in a certain way. And she would even do it with, you know, call outs and shout outs and all that at the bottom, very organized in a well written and documented way. This is the tool, you know, these are the tools you use to do it. So I can remember, you know, years ago being taught that, and it just continues to evolve, right? I mean, all the platforms are going to continue to evolve. So I'm grateful for her for helping, you know, keep my social media game at least solid. Yeah. I won't go as far to say strong, but at least solid.
Yeah. At least solid. And so, no, man, I think that's great. And you know, kudos to you personally and professionally. And it sounds like, you know, this next year is going to be a good year. And now, before we talk about year end stuff, I did want to bring up something. I just had an epiphany. I spoke to one of our former guests that we had on the show. And
okay.
The former guest went through coaching school, as many of our guests have, and part of their coaching school experience, this fellow marketed a $195 2-hour business planning session.
Okay.
$195 for 2 hours. Actually, it was an hour and a half, actually, my bad. $195 for an hour and a half business planning session. And so this person paid the money and went through the session and kind of told me what all they got out of it. So I figured I'd share with you and our listeners. He might get a similar offer. I was fascinated because, you know, Justin, that's something you and I could do as an add-on,
right?
You know, and sell that and hawk that as a service. So my hat's off to that person that did it. Anywho, so what the person achieved, the person was actually satisfied. At first I thought the person was going to get duped, but the person was actually satisfied. They came up with a blueprint, a business blueprint. And the things that that person achieved was his website URL name, and pricing structure. It seemed like there was
pricing structure and website URL. That'd be worth a couple hundred bucks.
I think his coaching business name. I'm coaching business name, URL, and pricing structure. So I thought that's pretty good service, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
So nothing to be. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something to be proud of. You know, yeah. As I've shared with you before, I think people have, there's going to be a, as I see it in 2020, next two to three years, there's going to be a very clear divide that happens in our industry. I think you're going to see some folks go toward the online, you know, the online model that we talk quite a bit about. And that'll be like segmented, right? Like, hey, do you want a business planning session? And I think you'll be able to fractionalize that quite a bit, which is great. You know, that way you can pick and choose what you need. And I think you're going to see other folks that say, you know what, my model is what it is. And to be honest, that's really where I'm in my planning cycle, is taking all the elements of everything I've done for clients and that I would like to do for clients in terms of value-added service, putting it together in these packages and determining, do these packages make sense as individual or whole offers? And that's really where I am, is, you know, either way, yes, taking it online, I think makes sense. But do you want it as a holistic, you know, In Good Company or Justin Immergood, you know, coaching offer? Or do you want it as a segmented offer where they can pick and choose? And to be honest, I haven't made a determination yet, because there's something to be said about staying true to the integrity of your brand, your mission. Yeah, you know, I probably could have made a lot more money segmenting it a bit, but where I struggle is, does that really degrade, does that take away from, you know, the overall experience of working with the Justin Immergood? Because to me, when you layer services and when you layer segments of coaching together, therein lies the true opportunity, or what I found, where I get those raving fans, those raving testimonials. That's just been my experience, right? Because I've done it both ways, by the way.
So you're saying, if I'm hearing this right, it's a better for people to work with you personally one-on-one, because they can get the full Immergood experience and the synergy and everything that takes place through the interaction with you directly. Is that kind of
you're on the right track. So what I'm saying is, you know, your example there of, hey, so if you were to say, hey, Justin, you know, we could, which you did, right? Hey, we could run a $199 offer for a business planning special, for a business planning, hour and a half business planning session. And I think to myself, I'm like, yeah, you know, I probably could book a dozen or a couple dozen of those, make a couple grand, you know, real quick. And it'd be great. You know, it's, you know, certainly good money, you know, for most people. But to me, it's not just about the money. It's about the long-term output and achievement of the students or people that I work with, right? And I have found in my experience, I am much better and I add a shit ton more value to people when I'm truly entrenched in their business. And I'm sorry, but you can't do that in an hour and a half business planning session.
Right.
I have the toolbox. I can hand the toolbox to them, but that's just what I've found. And I guess what I was saying to begin this facet of the discussion is, I think there's going to be a clear divide. There's going to be people that are going to segment or compartmentalize their services, and they'll be one-off, and they might work with, you know, one person for one or two services. Hey, I'll offer you business planning and a follow-up strategy session for, you know, $400, right? I'm really struggling with that transition, because I'll be honest, doing the full meal deal has been good to me. And that's where you get those crazy raving testimonials and the referrals from it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. So if I'm Gary V, I'd be like dropping some F-bomb. Well, then do that. Be who you are. Do that.
Yeah. That's what you fucking do that. Just fucking do that, man.
Do that. Yeah. There you go. No, brother. I'm with you. Case in point, Justin, I'm going back for another 2.0 tour duty with the Armored Car Company, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, that I talked about weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so, man, and why is that? And the reason why that is, Justin, for the very reasons that you just said, I got entrenched into you know, labor issues, labor concerns, logistics of routes, different types, you know, the cassette exchanges on ATMs versus bank drops and mall drops and pickups, and how many stops in a route and this and that, and really kind of knuckling down into the particulars of that industry. You know what I mean? Kind of looking at that and, you know, with the jeweler's glass and looking at it at a macro level and seeing how it impacts staff and what levels of change are tolerated or not tolerated with the staff, depending on what's going on and on any given day, given some of the dynamic things that happen in that industry. So and that could never have been done with a Skype thing. Yeah, let me, you know what I mean? Now, again, that's a big business consultation gig, but like you said, I was neck deep policies, procedures. And we'll get to that. I know you want to talk about policies and procedures, so I haven't lost sight of that. But anyway, I was neck deep in that stuff, and I love it, man. I'm like a kid in a candy store, because it's like I'm learning a new language. I'm learning something. You know what I mean? It's like traveling to a new, like going to Bora Bora, some place I've always wanted to go to, and just learning. And man, I love that aspect. It's just an adrenaline rush, and also, you know, just keeps me sharp. And honestly, hour for hour, the return on that is good. It's way better than just these segments. You know what I mean? Way better. Pound for pound.
And that's my point, is people are quick to jump at the quick, easy, you know, money. And if you really, you know, now it takes some time to get to that point. And your format, if coaching is, you know, a little different than mine, but, you know, I work with my clients. You know, the secret sauce that I found, at least in recent years, has been, hey, minimum of a 1-year agreement, you know, because you want to talk about entrenchment. You can't really be entrenched in a business less than that. Maybe 6 months, maybe, but I don't like doing 6 months, because even at 6 months, they're really expecting results in like one, you know?
Right.
Whereas if you set the standard of, hey, it's a year, then, you know, at 6 month mark, right, they're like, okay, we're seeing progress. And the other piece of it is a kicker at 3 months. That's sort of like an out clause, but is more like I call it an evaluation period. It's a 3-month evaluation period. And it's really designed for both parties. It's both for them of you as the coach, but also for you of them as a client. Because I've had some really shitty clients, Bruce. Some clients that I would have fucking fired if I knew better. And so it took some maneuvering, but now you realize, okay, I need an evaluation period, because everyone can put on their happy face and do the dog and pony show in a, you know, 1 hour or 2 hour consultation. Everyone can say all the right things, right? But after a quarter, you know, when you're entrenched for a quarter, you'll know what the fuck is going on with their business. Truly know what's going on with them, and whether they are who they say they are, they're transparent about their financials, their willingness and teachable and coachable. Because, I mean, those are some of the first things we learn in coaching is, you know, if a client's not teachable and coachable, you're already at a you know, deficit to start.
For sure. Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, and I've had some similar clients that didn't do so well. The difference is I had the luxury of having other stakeholders, let's say above them, that had commissioned me to do the work, because they, you know, they were evaluating their performance. You know, did they produce, or did their behavior change? You know. If that didn't happen, you know, I would say something, but also that was noticed by their supervisor, so to speak, you know.
Yeah, that's always key. If you have some air cover above, that kind of helps normalize.
And I know, not everybody has that, because everything is, some of these coaching gigs are point to point, and, you know, they're the consumer, and that's where everything stops. But like you said, if you do have that air cover and or you're knee deep in their business, and you're doing the metrics because you're knee deep in their business and you can see the gains and call them for what they are, or the losses and call them for what they are, then that's the feedback that they need to make adjustments or whatever's going on. So yeah, man, good stuff.
So it's interesting. And I think as, you know, I know we only get about 20 minutes left here for the show today, but it's that perfect time of year to really, what I do. And it's actually started, truthfully, you know, I started in the beginning of Q4, but in December is when we really get prescriptive and tight on output plans, or as I like to call them, VSEM, vision, or VMSEM plans, vision, mission, strategy, execution, metric plans, which is sort of, think of that as your one page or overall framework, you know, for the year, you know, for a business. This is that time of year, right? People start to sort of pivot a little bit away from revenue attainment, and they pivot more into, okay, 2020 planning cycles. Hopefully they already started some of this. But I like to go through several exercises with my clients now. And it's funny, Naomi and I were just talking about this the other day around, you know, policies and procedures and employee handbooks and just those sorts of things. This is a perfect time to review those items, revise those items as you go into the next year, right? Or in some cases, some companies don't even have that shit in place. And if they don't, it's a perfect time to put it in place. You know, I've dealt with a couple of clients that didn't even have proper HR handbooks, for example, which, you know, one of those clients I have let go because it's like, I don't want to be a part of situations like that where, you know, God forbid, knock on wood, they can get sued,
Just curious, just how many employees did that firm have that you let go?
Like a dozen. It's about a dozen.
Okay, just checking. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're still on the smaller end. They weren't like huge enterprise, but they're on the smaller end. But it's actually, that's why I'm finding it more. Because, you know, the super large companies, they have an HR director or whatever. The small-ass companies that are only one or two people, they don't really need it. It's those, I call them the tweener companies, the mid-market companies that really need it. And unfortunately, they don't generally put it in place. And I'll tell you, this one client in particular, I'm just kind of watching from the sidelines. I unfortunately think some bad shit's going to go down for them. And I don't wish ill upon anyone, especially my clients, you know, past, present, or future. But I tell you what, if you don't have HR handbooks and stuff in place, and I know this is the shit that people don't want to talk about, you know, we're talking about it on, you know, Concierge Coaches Show. People want to talk about revenue and they want to talk about transformation. Okay, well, let's talk about some basic shit. Like, if you have an employee, like PTO practices or HR practices, do you have the proper items in place for that? So if you had a, let's just say, employee of a diverse employee, I'll say, would that employee, if you let them go for whatever reason, would they come after you? And if they did, would you have the proper written materials, written language in place to protect yourselves? When I saw this and the lack there and the lack of willingness to put that stuff in place, I'm like, I'm out. See y'all later. I think this isn't going to work out. And luckily it was still in a sort of that
evaluation period. What was their rationale to not have that in place? That's weird.
Well, because they've never had it in place. So if you get by doing something, bad behavior for a long time and you get away with it, it starts to become feels normal, right? And people are like, well, I don't need it then. So we're not dealing with, I'm not dealing with startups, Bruce, right? I'm dealing with companies that have been around for 5, 10, 15, sometimes even, you know, 20 years or more. So when they have these bad habits, but they've gotten away with them, And then you come in and you're like, listen, this is sort of essential, because it's like life insurance, or car insurance. Like, you need insurance, right? Why would you not put the right insurance plate, you know, practices in place for your business? And I hate to say it, but some companies just don't give a shit. They think, well, you know, that's a nice to have, it's not a must have. Well, guess what? It becomes a must have when you're getting fucking sued for, you know, $5 million, which is probably more than you're generating in a year. Then you'll think to yourself, huh, maybe we should have done that. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I've been seeing a lot of that, but, you know, lately, and I think it's a great time of year for every company. And again, whether you're a solopreneur, startup, have at least a one, you know, start with a one page handbook, and the handbook can be simple. It could be your value statements. Actually, I was listening to, you know, my man Tony the other day, and he talked about how he was, you know, working with a smaller company. And I don't think it was a solopreneur startup, but it was a smaller company, and they simply put some value statements, like 10, value statements in place for their initial handbook, you know, like, respect others and, have a commitment to the client at all costs, right? Or at all, you know, normal costs. Some things like that, to that effect, are going to help companies at least know what they stand for. Because if you don't know what you stand for, then you kind of stand for nothing.
Exactly.
I don't know you probably don't get too entrenched with that sort of stuff, but, well, you know, maybe you can comment on your perspective culture with stuff.
Okay. So one company, and I've alluded to this, I don't know if you're, you know, anyway, it was about 4 months ago, talked about a company I was consulting, and they were operating as if it was the 1980s. And they haven't
made those, I remember that one.
And they haven't made their adjustments, and some Me Too-ish issues came into play. And I mean, luckily I was able to go in there and find a mistake against the claimant, you know what I mean, that was shooting at the company. I mean, that was lucky, you know what I'm saying? That was lucky. We had a good day, and they were to bring that to her, and they dropped the case. But they didn't, you know, and then I was right there with you. I'm like, hey, we got to do some, you know, I got to be a culture influencer here. We got to make some changes how, you know, you all handle these issues, how males and females relate to each other in the workplace, period. Language that is said in the workplace, behaviors that are executed in the workplace, behaviors that are executed off the workplace, but it's still a quorum of work people. And then also kind of like a code of conduct for each employee, you know, a code of conduct. And, boy, they didn't, you know, that code of conduct, it's like, man, whatever I do behind the closed doors of my own business, like, yeah, until it comes out, you know?
So, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, man, so they looked at me like I had to
come and so the this. SEC is like breathing down your neck and all that. And then yeah. You'll be thinking,
So, Justin, you're spot on, brother. I mean, you're spot on, and shame on some of these companies that don't have some of these backstops in place, or like you said, at least policies and procedures, at least vision, mission statements that talk about affirmational goals or whatever, and appropriate treatment of staff and customers and stuff like that. So, yeah, they're remiss in their duties if they don't have something. This is 2019, man. Everybody's a target. Check this out. You know, I was just complaining about the condo tax, right? So, and I've, man, this is, the, so I also changed my structure on my S corporation, S or C, depending, because it's a professional association, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. So we'll say S corporation. So, right. So now I am an employee of my own S corporation. Okay. And so what that did was is that sent a signal. Now my CPA says this is what you need to do to take care, you know, to maximize the pass through income and the Donald Trump love, this and that and the other. And I'm like, are you sure? And it's like, yes, I'm sure. Okay, fine. But a consequence was that it sent up a flare to the Texas Workforce Commission. And I got all these things about affirmative action.
Oh, no.
I got mail. No. I got this damn mail, like how to treat your minority employees right, this and that and the other. Flyers that my staff can complain, that I can complain about myself, that I can call Austin to the Texas Workforce Commission about bad practices in the workplace. I'm like, holy freaking cow. Isn't that something? You know, like you said, you go from a solopreneur or somebody who's utilizing 1099 contractors. And now I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I have to have inclusion practices and make sure I'm included and God almighty. Isn't that funny? What a consequence, you know. Boy, talk about getting on the radar real quick.
I wouldn't be happy about that if the California Workforce Commission was all over my junk. I'd be pretty wound up. You're handling well, actually.
Right, but you know, I'm not faulting the Workforce Commission because they may think I have multiple employees, right? Because once my tax structure changed, they got notified, and that's a wrap. And they just sent out the usual packet like they would to any business. Again, I'm not beefing against the Workforce Commission, but I am saying is like, damn, you got a state attorney general's office, the ones that files for corporations and businesses, watching you and saying, yeah, we gave you plenty of flyers and warnings and this and that and the other. So, you know what I'm saying? So that just ought to make some rear ends pucker for some of these businesses, you know. Just saying.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of. I mean, you're telling me. You're telling me. I'd be all.
Can you imagine, Justin? Look on your face, like, oh, what did I get from the California Workforce Commission? Justin Nimmergood.
My sphincter would tighten up so quick.
Justin Nimmergood. Remember when you file at the tax year, you have to do a report of everybody you fired. Justin Nimmergood, like Jesus Christ, you know, like what, you know, is this the People's Republic of Texas or what? What is this? People with stars and red stars on ball hats coming in from China. Sorry, man.
Just wait. You guys think it's all gravy now. You know, before long, it'll be just like California there in Texas.
It'll be China. So the People's Republic of Bruce Cameron. So anyway.
Yeah. Actually kind of in a similar vein, and another reason why I think this is so, so incredibly important. I had a kind of a blast from the past come up recently. And again, you know, I'll leave all the company names and all that anonymous, but you know, as an employer that I worked for a short time period, like just shortly over a year. And, I left on good terms. Or at least I think I did. Anyway. but in typical Justin Nimmergood fashion, I was anal retentive about all my email records, all my, sales records and this and that. And, you know, I ran into one of the former employees that I worked with there recently. And then probably about a month ago, he reached out to me and it was kind of out of the blue, and I was on another line, so I didn't, accept the phone call. And he just said, hey, he texted me, hey, call me when you have some. Like, well, you didn't really give me much to go on there. I mean, good to hear from you, but what's going on? Kind of, busy time of year right now. And then later that day, I got a call, which I accepted it, unknown number, but on T-Mobile actually has done a good job of sort of doing the caller ID thing. So it was a name that seemed familiar to me. So if it's not a number you have programmed in your phone, now they're getting really good about, especially if it's like a business number, they'll tell you who it is. So I accepted the call, talked to the guy. It turns out to be a lawyer. It's a civil employee, civil lawyer for employee rights or something like that. And he's going after a case for this former employer that I worked for on behalf of this employee. And he's asking me all these questions and stuff. And I'm just like, listen, and he's, you know, of course he wants me to sign it, what they call it, an affidavit or
right.
something an affidavit, like that. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, as much as I love to help, you know, and I'd love to burn these motherfuckers to the ground. And trust me, I would, because, you know, they were kind of shady on multiple fronts and I experienced some of that shadiness. I just don't know if I feel comfortable putting my name out there and then have, you know, it's like you were just talking about. Next thing you know, Google Justin Immergood, and, you know, there's all these court documents and shit out there about me. Like, I don't fucking need that, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, it just made me think that that was another really important moment recently, like just that I think further validates the importance of not only companies doing the right thing and having all their shit in order, but I'm going to flip the script for a second. If you're an employee of a company, small or large, that, I mean, it's probably even more important, because if you ever get to a point where a company, and I've been in it a couple times, you know, where, you know, as a career sales guy selling my ass off, like, you know, more than companies could afford to pay, you know, shit where they didn't expect you'd sell that much and you do, and they're like, oh fuck, how do we pay this guy out? And they're trying to, you know, part ways with you and all that. You better have your shit in order. And luckily I've always done a good job of that. You know, I got to thank my dad and others for always instilling some of those, you know, organizational habits in me. But I tell you what, it's that time of year. That's the bottom line. And what I wanted to make sure, you know, as far as points that we got across today, you know, if you're a company, make sure you are reviewing your employee handbooks, your policies and procedures, your mission statements and mission vision strategy plans for 2020. And if you're an employee, you know, it's a similar process. You know, if you're an employee of a larger corporation, you probably should be reviewing your, you know, 30, 60, 90 day plans, your promotional plans, right? Yeah. But also making sure you have all your records in order. If and when that time comes, when you have to have that hard conversation,
right?
You know, or a company goes through a layoff, or to be honest, it might even be out of the blue and you won't be expecting it. Right. That's why you got to have that shit in order. I remember every week I was downloading commission statements, not commission statements, but booking. They're called bookings reports. Anywhere I've ever worked, every week I was downloading. As soon as I come out, boom, I download them locally, right? And I would make a copy to the cloud now is where, you know, where all that stuff's stored. So your computer crashes, I still got a copy somewhere, right?
Yeah. Another thing I would add, a lot of our listeners are coaches or psychotherapists or, you know, or whatever. And if you're, you know, a licensed psychotherapist, then you need to have language in your policy and procedure that mirrors the state licensing body, because that license is a set of policy and procedures for you to go by. So you have that. So you're not necessarily recreating the wheel. I mean, there's some local things with collection and other things, but now if you're a coach, it gets a little hazy. So I would recommend that either you join ICF or some sort of a coaching body that is nationally recognized to show that your coaching practice adheres to some sort of nationally recognized standard. Believe me, that'll get you out of hot water if you can show that you're mirroring the guidelines of the, you know, such and such coaching federation or national coaching, whatever, or some sort of a recognized board. And that way you can show that you're just not freewheeling and operating, which can protect you or help you in a lawsuit situation for malpractice or otherwise. So I just want to jump that out there, because a lot of the independent operators, you know, don't have policy and procedures. They're just kind of seeing clients and collecting money, paying bills. So they got to think with a broader stroke on those, you know, on the code of ethics.
Absolutely.
Stuff like that. Well,
absolutely.
Folks,
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, there we are with another great show.
Another one down. That was a nice slide into home plate there with the ethics boards and the federation and stuff like that. So, well, folks, just another great show today here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Be with us next week and beyond as we provide just awesome commentary like we did today, as well as commentary from our special guests from all over the United States and the world that come onto the show and impart what they're doing and how they do it, and it being an inspiration to us as well as other coaches and possible coaching clients. We can be reached and seen on our social media, on the Concierge Coaches, on Facebook, on Instagram, and LinkedIn. I can be reached on at conciergecoach.net. And Justin, how can folks reach you?
They can reach me for my last name, you know, nimmergood.com. You can find all the information, some great questionnaires. And, you know, we have a bit of a holiday promo going on right now. So check it out, and love to connect with many of you here over the next couple of weeks.
All right. Get a stocking stuffer or some sort of a...
Something like that.
Very good. Okay, everybody. Well, again, have a blessed week, and we'll see you here next week on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everyone.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.